From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
Clear cutting chainsaws killing the trees, something everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run.
Welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front line of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet and folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, web addresses. So please, get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio. It's activist radio, and I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, locked down at the dragon at the road blockade. If you have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, please keep your pencil or pen handy and listen for the contact information later on in the show. Let's get on to our calendar announcement items here. A Hot Fudge Monday Feed and River Revival Night at the Mark. Join Ken Slight and friends in welcoming the new Glen Canyon Action Network to Moab, Utah. That's coming up this Monday, January 24th at 7 p.m. at the Moab Arts and Recreation Center. And something exciting is happening at 21 North Main Street in Moab, Utah, where just an ice cream parlor once stood. The headquarters of a nationwide effort to protect and restore the Colorado River is about to see life. And the public is invited to see the opening event, a Hot Fudge Monday Feed and River Revival Night, and it's free. Once again, that's Monday, January 24th, 7 p.m. at the Moab Arts and Recreation Center in Moab, Utah. I don't exactly have a street address for that, but I guess Moab is a pretty small place. Anyway, the Glen Canyon Action Network is what's coming together, and they'll be at the former Restoration Creamery in downtown Moab, where each scoop sold of Marble Canyon fudge and other notable flavors will help another gallon of water soon to drain out of that reservoir. So check that out next Monday. If you are concerned about Yosemite National Park, there is a draft Merced River plan that is currently undergoing public comment period. The draft river plan for the Merced River was forced as a result of a court order by the Sierra Club and Mariposas for Environmentally Responsible Growth. And it was filed against Bruce Babbitt. They're trying to stop over-widening of the road into Yosemite National Park along El Portal area. They want to protect the river, the Merced River. There's a bunch of hearings in California. January 31st at the Mammoth Lakes High School in Mammoth Lakes, 5:30 to 9:30. Bakersfield on February 1st at the Sheraton Four Points Hotel. That's 4 to 9:30. In San Diego at the Hanalei Hotel on February 2nd. February 3rd in Los Angeles at the Autry Museum of Western Heritage. In Palo Alto on February 5th, that's a Saturday, at the Hyatt Ricky's on El Camino Real, 11:30 to 5. In Berkeley on February 6th at James Kenney Park and Recreation Center, 11:30 to 5. Sacramento on February 8th at the Holiday Inn Northeast, 4 to 9:30 p.m. In Merced, California, February 9th, that's a Wednesday, at the Multicultural Arts Center on West Main Street, 4 to 9:30. In Mariposa, California, Thursday, February 10th at the Senior Activity Center, 4 to 9 in Yosemite and El Portal on February 11th. That's a Friday at the El Portal Elementary School on Rancheria Flat Road from 5 to 9 p.m. In Yosemite Park itself, in the East and West Auditoriums on February 14th. That's a Monday. That's in the Yosemite Valley Visitor Center. And at Fish Camp, the Tenaya Lodge portion of Yosemite National Park on Tuesday, February 15th. So go and speak out against the river, or against the road widening project, and in favor of the draft Merced River Plan, the no action portion of that plan. With threats of unprecedented proportions facing the planet and powerful special interests standing in the way of a solution, we need visionary and talented leaders to solve environmental problems. We need leaders like David Brower, Lewis Gibbs, and the late Cesar Chavez, who will stand up against corporate polluters and despoilers to protect the environment and our communities. That's why in 1992, Brower, Gibbs, and Chavez helped form the Green Corps. It's a year-long, full-time, paid environmental leadership training program, and candidates can apply right now. You'll get introductory training. You'll have four subsequent week-long trainings. These start in August of the year 2000. You'll be an intern at various places during the year. You need to apply almost immediately. If you live in the southeast of the United States, your application deadline is the 24th of January. In the northwest, the 31st. In the northeast, the 7th of February. In the west, the 14th of February. And the Midwest, the 1st of March. You need to go online. It's the only place that I can see here that you can apply. The webpage is www.greencorps.org. That's GREENCORPS. GreenCorps.org. It's actually pronounced Green Corps, but anyway, that's where you get your application. If you need further information, you can call Justin. His number, 559-486-0165. That's 559-486-0165. Or you can send email to rubenja@aol.com. That's rubenja, rubenja at aol.com. Okay. Coming up in the eastern part of the United States near Nashville, Tennessee, February 4th through 6th, is the Cumberland Green Bioregional Council Winter Gathering in Nashville, Tennessee. Starts on Friday night at a social gathering in Nashville. Saturday, they will be at, they will be at a church at 700 Breslin Road in Nashville on Saturday all day. You want more information about this gathering? It's the Cumberland Green Bioregional Council Winter Gathering in Nashville, Tennessee, February 4th through 6th. Here's the contact information. 615-292-6360. That's 615-292-6360. Ask for Katie. Good stuff happening in Nashville. Looking for a job? There's a great job with the Blue Mountain Biodiversity Project up in Fossil, Oregon. There's a one-year position minimum requirement of a commitment to be an experienced activist. If you have some experience and you want to get more, this is the way to do it. You need experience with legal timber sale monitoring and an interest in the background or background in ending corporate dominance. Office and hiking skills are necessary, but they don't have any computers, so don't worry. You won't get to work on computers. You must be self-motivated and willing to live in Eastern Oregon. Send your resume and extensive activist references with your phone number and mailing address to the Blue Mountain Biodiversity Project, HCR 82, Fossil, Oregon, 97830. Once again, that address, Blue Mountain Biodiversity Project, HCR 82, Fossil, Oregon, 97830. Also coming up, the Earth First Organizers Conference 2000 Winter Fiesta and 20th Anniversary Hike, this time for real. It's a beach party in the desert, lots of sand, but no water. Hopefully, But dress warmly because it can get pretty chilly out there in the Mojave, which they call the high desert. The whole thing starts on Thursday, February 10th, runs through Sunday, the 13th of February. You'll need to bring food. You'll need to bring water. You'll need to bring firewood. If you want to keep warm, you'll be camping next to your car. If you have any big tents, they need them. It'll cost you $20 to participate, and it helps offset the cost of the whole thing. How to get there? Go to Baker, California. Head south into the Mojave Desert. Actually, I believe it's east. Following I-15 for 42.2 miles, turn north on Cal Baker Road, proceed 14 miles to the site. I don't know why they say south, because it's I-15 runs east and west, so I don't understand. I haven't actually looked on a map to see which side of Baker Cal Baker Road is on, but anyway, if you'd like more information, contact Earth First Organizing Committee, P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. That's Earth First Organizing Committee, 2000, P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. Or you can send email to earthfirst, all one word, at igc.org, and put conference in the subject line. I'll send you more information. If you need a ride or you can offer a ride, call the rideshare number 541-312-3453. That's 541-312-3453. Ride sharing for the activist conference. Ask for Delilah. Or you can send email to kitchenwitchrune at yahoo.com. That's kitchenwitchrune, all one word, R-U-N-E, at yahoo.com. There may be travel money for those who need it. So, looking for a job? How about the Appalachian Restoration Campaign, a project of Heartwood? These folks are located in Charlottesville, Virginia. What are you going to do? Well, Heartwood, as you know, is dedicated to protecting and restoring the native forests of the central Heartwood region of the United States. They're a nonprofit. They want folks who can coordinate the ARC staff, volunteers, interns, and manage all kinds of office stuff. You'll need to help revise and implement the Central Appalachian Assessment. And you'll have all kinds of other stuff to do. You'll need to have experience with the management of nonprofits, fundraising, coordination of staff, and community organizing, sophisticated computer skills, and GIS ability required. Commitment to grassroots forest protection and necessity. There is a salary, about $20,000 a year, plus health coverage. You get holidays, flexible work schedules, and a beautiful location in the Blue Ridge Mountains. All right. Where do you apply? All right. Let's see. The applications need to go to. You need a resume. You need a cover letter and three references to ARC, P.O. Box 2786, Charlottesville, Virginia, 22902. Again, ARC, P.O. Box 2786, Charlottesville, Virginia, 22902, or send email to scurry at firstvirginia.com. That's S-C-U-R-R-Y at F-I-R-S-T-V-A.com. Get on that. Got this rather extensive email from some folks down in Tucson. Greetings from the Sonoran Desert. As members of Tucson Earth First, putting forward a proposal to move the Earth First Journal to Tucson, we respectfully request your input and opinion on this important step for our movement. Enclosed is a copy of the present proposal, which Uncle Dennis will not read, that was submitted to the journal for publication. It has been shortened to accommodate publication, so there are some issues that are only briefly touched on that we intend to discuss in depth at the organizers' conference in the East Mojave Desert, February 10th through 13th. Proposal was born out of a desire of Tucson Earth Firsters to accept the monumental task of hosting the journal. It is our community's hope that it would empower new Earth Firsters with the memories of radical environmentalism begun here 20 years ago, while also strengthening the bridge we have built with activists in other struggles whom we have developed relationships with and who share our visions. We believe such a decision requires the support of all who feel the Earth First Journal represents their activism, and for that reason we encourage you to attend the organizers' conference. In order for this proposal to be adequately addressed, we'd like to see every Earth First chapter in North America represented at the conference. We also welcome your input before the conference if you can't make it. If you have any questions or concerns about how we will intend to improve on our movement's paper, do not hesitate to write or call, email, or visit us here in Tucson. Let's see, I don't believe that they included an address here, but there are, here it is, Tucson Earth First, P.O. Box 3412, Tucson, Arizona, 85722. Once again, that's Tucson Earth First, P.O. Box 3412, Tucson, Arizona, 85722. Turtle's phone number, 520-623-5252, extension 303. Once again, Turtle's phone number is 520-623-5252, extension 303. And Rod Coronado's number, 520-903-9404. That's 520-903-9404. Or email to tortuga@southwest-center.org, tortuga, T-O-R-T-U-G-A, at sw-center.org, or Rod Hassan, R-O-D-H-A-S-A-N, at yahoo.com, Rod Hassan at yahoo.com. Quite an extensive proposal here to move the Earth First Journal to Tucson. Let's get into the news here. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has announced unprecedented new restrictions on the planting of genetically modified corn. The measures are intended to reduce the risk of the modified crop that could cause ecological disruptions, harm non-target species like monarch butterflies, and lead to increased pesticide resistance in insects. The new EPA rules were detailed in letters to biotechnical seed producers sent last week by Janet Anderson, director of EPA's Biopesticides and Pollution Prevention Division. Corn modified to produce the BT toxin, which combats pests like European corn borers, has been criticized because of studies suggesting pollen from biotech corn could kill harmless butterflies and moths. BT corn uses a gene from the toxic soil bacterium Bacillus thuringiensis to produce a toxic substance in some insects, mostly caterpillars. The same toxin is used in some conventional chemical pesticides. Some scientists warn that exposing insects to low levels of BT toxin in corn pollen could lead to super pests resistant to the toxin. Effective immediately, farmers who wish to plant BT corn must plant 20 to 50% of their acreage with conventional, unmodified corn. The conventional corn must be planted in structured refuges that could provide some protection for insects, the EPA says. In addition, farmers must undertake additional monitoring in their fields as an early warning system to detect any potential resistance, according to the EPA. In certain limited geographic areas, particularly where BT corn could threaten or harm threatened or endangered butterflies, the EPA will order additional restriction on sales and planting of the modified crop. The new requirements could be costly for farmers and may lead to a decline in orders for BT corn seed. However, the industry has agreed to the agency's conditions, the EPA said last week in announcing the new measures. In May of 1999, researchers at Cornell University released a laboratory study showing that pollen from BT corn can kill monarch butterflies. That raised fears that the corn pollen could blow from planted fields into nearby meadows, dusting milkweed plants, the sole food of the monarch butterfly caterpillar. The EPA suggested to the corn industry that farmers should voluntarily plant their required conventional corn refuges upwind of their BT crops to prevent BT corn pollen from blowing into these fields. No field studies have yet been confirmed that BT corn poses a risk to monarch butterflies outside the laboratory. However, the potential risk to the butterfly highlights the problem with BT corn and other modified crops. Studies of their impacts have largely been performed in the laboratory or on small test plots. No one is quite sure how they may affect insects in the real world. In December, the EPA put out a call for further studies to determine how toxic BT corn may be to species like the monarch butterfly and the endangered Karner blue butterfly. Protocols for these studies are due in March of this year, and the data is due a year from now. Even a partial planting of modified crops can make a farmer's entire corn unsaleable in Europe, as conventional corn planted next to modified BT corn may take up some of the toxin. Much of U.S. corn now tests positive for BT and will be rejected by overseas buyers. A Reuters poll predicts 24% decline in plantings of BT corn compared with 1999 and a 26% decline in plantings of BT cotton. The results also predict a 15% decline in Roundup Ready soybeans, a modified variety of soy that makes the plants more tolerant to the Monsanto weed killer Roundup, and a 22% decline in Roundup Ready corn plantings. Roundup Ready soy was planted on more than half of all U.S. soybean acres in 1999. If you'd like more information on the Environmental Protection Agency's biotechnological regulatory program for plant pesticides, go to their webpage, www.epa.gov/pesticides/biopesticides. Well, good news, they're cutting down on it anyway. Action News: relentless forest protection leaders from Rainforest Action Network made sure that the National Association of Home Builders Conventioneers understood that it is simply wrong to build homes from old growth wood. Protest activities began during the opening ceremonies Friday, January 14th, when activists inflated a giant balloon shaped like a chainsaw outside during the opening remarks by Newt Gingrich. Over the following weekend, climbers hung two giant banners, each nearly 1,000 square feet in size, one from the top of the convention center, the other inside the meeting itself. The outside banner, hung under the sign welcoming attendees to the convention, read, "There's no place like home for rainforest destruction. Stop using old-growth wood." The inside banner, placed above old-growth purveyor Boise Cascade's display booth, read, "No more homes from old-growth wood." Building homes from old-growth wood, ran old-growth campaign director Michael Brune declares, is as barbaric as killing elephants for ivory. The home construction industry is the last major old-growth lumber user that has not addressed this issue. We hope they catch up quickly and get out of old-growth right away. The indefatigable activists carried on protests well into the night, every night using a high-powered optical system to project massive anti-old-growth images on Dallas buildings. Sounds like they had a great time down there. All right. If you want more information, contact a Rainforest Action Network. 221 Pine Street, number 500, San Francisco, California, 94014. That's RAN. 221 Pine Street, Suite 500, San Francisco, California, 94014. Or you can phone them at 415-398-4404. 415-398-4404. Well, let's get started on animal news. We won't have time to finish it in this half-hour segment, but we'll pick it up right at the top of the next half-hour. Here it goes. From London, the 10th anniversary of the international ban on trade in elephant ivory has been chosen by the Environmental Investigation Agency to release a statement on new figures showing the incident of elephant poaching is once again skyrocketing. Reports from a number of African countries point toward a upsurge in elephant poaching. In Kenya's Tsavo National Park, 29 elephants were poached for their ivory in 1999, five times the average annual total during the previous 6 years. Press reports from Zimbabwe claim that poachers killed at least 350 elephants in that country last year, with 31 killed in a single park in just 2 weeks. The Environmental Investigation Agency, a nonprofit environmental group based in London, England, and Washington, D.C., paved the way for the adoption of the international trade ban in 1990 with a 2-year undercover investigation exposing the illegal ivory trade. Now, EIA fears substantial quantities of illicit ivory are on the move again. In the 10 years leading up to the ban, poachers decimated Africa's elephant herds, with the population falling from 1.3 million to less than 624,000. Despite the success of the ban in allowing recovery of the elephant population, some South African states have continually sought to reopen the ivory trade. In 1997, the CITES parties agreed to permit a one-off sale of ivory from Zimbabwe, Namibia, and Botswana to Japan. And that sale took place in April of 1999, when Japanese ivory traders bought almost 60 tons of ivory from the three African states. EIA Chairman Alan Thornton, who has been tracking illegal ivory trade since the late 1980s, said, "Lifting the ivory ban was the biggest conservation blunder of the 1990s. Reports of intensifying elephant poaching are increasing. The sale of ivory to Japan was supposed to be preceded by implementation of international safeguards in the form of a monitoring system to detect increased poaching. The system was not established, and now elephants are paying the price. Since the sale was allowed to proceed, despite the absence of agreed safeguards, seven of the largest ivory seizures have taken place since the ban was implemented in January 17th of 1990. Up to 94% of all ivory sold before the international ban originated as poached ivory and was laundered into the legal trade due to the extensive loopholes in the CITES ivory control system. Well, we're going to take a little musical break here. We're going to check out a song by David Rovix. This one is off his CD called We Just Want the World. The song is called The Death of David Chain.
Brokaw got on TV and ripped the big lie. See the mill all boarded up, hear the sympathetic sigh. He summed it up succinctly with these vicious words. It's your paycheck or your planet, the loggers or the birds. These cronies were nowhere to be found. They said big timber is our business, to the dollar we are bound. Their absence was a message, we'll turn a blinded eye. Don't expect us to give a damn if anyone should die. Charles Hurwitz told the nation, the battle lines are drawn. These eco-terrorists won't stop till all your jobs are gone. His PR team worked overtime to build up every wall. These bomb throwers and tree spikers just want to kill you all. A man stood at the chainsaw knowing only what he knew. And everything he learned said it's either me or you. It all lands through the redwood, many hateful words he said. And several seconds later, David Chain was lying dead. Some will call this man a killer, some will call this man a thug. Some will cover it in lies and try to sweep it beneath the rug. But from Oakland to Fortuna, Sacramento to D.C., there is murder in the air, and there are killers running free. From Oakland to Fortuna, Sacramento to D.C., there is murder in the air, and there are killers running free.
First Radio will be right back.